Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, proclaimed the good news of the gospel through these broadcasts, and we continue to do so with his recorded services. We hope you will tell others about our programs and invite them to join us. We want to share a letter of thanks we recently received from Kansas. It reads, "Thank you for the Christian Worship Hour and for continuing to broadcast Pastor Salem's messages. I have been watching the program for years and enjoy it every Sunday before I attend church. May God continue to bless this ministry." In Dad's message today, "The Beauty of the Lord" speaks to the beauty of God in and upon His people. Attributes of faith, humility, patience, meekness, and love. We hope this program will be uplifting to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so happy to have all of you join us and open your doors for us so that we can come in. And we're all over the world. We're going to gather around the throne of God and worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking at Psalm chapter 18 today, where the psalmist writes, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. He is my shield and my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord as worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. From foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth." And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're so great. And when we don't know which way to turn, when we have troubles and trials, we can always go to you, and you always hear us. And you have great power and might so that the earth trembles at your voice, and we always find help and strength. And Lord, we're praying today that if there are those worshiping with us and tuned us in, if they don't know you personally, we pray that in this hour they'll put their faith in the wonderful Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us now, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." And God bless you, Jan.
To carry me home.
Thank you, Jan. God bless you. And you know, the beauty of that is that's true. That's what's going to happen. He's going to come for each one of us. And the Lord himself is going to come, and he's going to take us through the valley of the shadow of death, and we fear no evil. But you have to know Jesus. You have to know him now. And you can't know him until you ask him into your life. You've just got to pray and tell Jesus you're a sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. Just tell him, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I just ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll follow you the best I can, and thank you, Jesus. And if you make that prayer, it's the sinner's prayer, your chariot will be waiting for you and waiting for me, and we'll all gather together in that beautiful city of God someday. But you have to have Jesus. Well, we want to thank all of you for writing. We get so many nice letters. We read every one of them. And I got a letter the other day that got me under conviction. And so I want to make a confession today. And this is what what he writes. It's from Palm Coast, Florida. I have an issue to take up with you. You need to stop talking badly about the game of golf. I love the game, and me and my fellow golfers worship the Lord as much as you do. And we do not spend all day in the woods looking for golf balls. If we do, it's part of the pleasure of the game. If you don't understand the great pleasure that God gives us golfers in playing a decent, clean game, then you shouldn't down it. Go after the porn watchers, not us. I work hard for my family, and I think enjoying trying to play a game of golf isn't going to hurt anyone. God uses the game of golf to help me witness of him. Just the beauty of nature that we are surrounded by the whole day is enough to bring him to mind and be thankful for him. You don't know what he will use for his purposes, so please stop using the game for the game. It wasn't meant to be used that way. I love golf. I love the Lord. P.S. Here's $20 I found on the golf course. So, well, you know, I read that, and by George, it kind of caught me under conviction because I do get tough on the golfers. And when I've been thinking, you know, I've been in the ministry 73 years, over 73 years. And over those years, some of the wonderful men and women attended church and loved the Lord, and they played golf. So from now on, I'm not going to get after the golfers anymore. Maybe I'll get after the fishermen. Well, no, I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should just stick to preaching the gospel. So that's what I'm going to do. And God bless this man for writing, and I appreciate him. I appreciate it very much. Now we have another letter from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and this is what we like to hear. I prayed to give all my sins to Jesus. I'd love to get the starter packet. Please help to walk with Jesus. And the packet that we send is a one that Billy Graham gives out at the Crusades when people come to the Lord. And that's what we use. We send it out free and postpaid. Here's Grand Forks, Minnesota. Your service is such a blessing to us. You taught me to look up instead of down and out instead of in. Thank you, Jesus. And that's a good way to live. Here's Hungry Horse, Montana. Please pray for me. I love and trust God, but I feel I'm not worthy. Well, I want to tell you, brother, this is from a man, by the way, that none of us feel worthy. We're all poor lost sinners. And if we had justice coming to us, I never pray for justice because justice would put us in hell. I pray for the mercy and the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he went to the cross and shed his blood. He had no sins of his own. So he took our sins, my sins, and the sins of the world. And he paid for them with his own blood. And as St. John says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And he'll wash away your sins when you come to Jesus, wonderful Jesus. And that man says he doesn't feel worthy. No, we're none of us worthy. But God loves us just the same. And he loves you, and maybe you're still in your sins. You haven't come to Jesus. He loves you. He died for you just as much as he did for any of the rest of us. And he wants you to come and receive him as your Savior. You can do that. I pray if you haven't done it, you'll do it right this service. Here is a letter, let's see, the Hull, Iowa. The new song is great. It lifts you up when you're down. Well, the new song is a little Bible study that we put out every month. And this month, the month of October, we're using the Bible study, God's Great Harvest. And then a new month, the next month, we'll have another Bible study. It's free and postpaid. It's just such a wonderful little Bible study. We really ought to charge for it. But we're just such nice people, and we just send it free. And we're going to send it free till we go broke. And then we probably won't send it anymore. But you send your gifts, and we get enough gifts so we can pay our way. And so we're all happy. And it's a great blessing to people. We have one man wrote, and he said that he uses it in teaching Bible study and in his Sunday school. And so it'll be a blessing to you, I'm sure. Let's see, here's Pembroke, Texas. I heard you tell of a book you have about committing suicide. I had a grandson who is a Christian commit suicide in 2008. I thought he went to hell. But you said in this book, not all who commit suicide go to hell. Please send me the book. Yes, we do have a book. It's about 12 pages long. It's filled with scripture, the Bible, the verses from God. And what this teaches, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you commit suicide, you'll go to heaven. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins as long as we live. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, I hadn't committed any of my sins yet. So he paid for all of them from the day I was saved until the day I entered the pearly gates. And so you write to us, and then you get your pencil and paper. I'll give it to you in just a minute. And you can send a gift, all right. If you don't have any money, we'll send it free and postpaid. We send it to a lot of prisons. We send it to people on someone's Social Security, and they just don't have it. And so we'll pay the way, and somebody will bless us and help us. Let's see what we got here. Oh, yeah. We wanted, this person writes and tells about how that they always tell others about the Christian Worship Hour. And that's something that you can do, and that's something that will help all of us. If you just tell others about the Christian Worship Hour, tell them that there's an old man on there, and he's 96 years old. And tell him to tune it in and see if he's going to make it through the sermon or something like that, see? And they'll get inquisitive about that and say, oh, yeah, I want to hear that. That old geezer, I want to hear him. And so they'll listen in and we'll give them the gospel. And they'll have their mouths open. We'll just jam the gospel down their throats and they'll come to Jesus. You see, without hearing, they can't accept Jesus unless they hear. And so we'll give them a message. Well, we need your help. We need your prayers and we need your gifts. And so if you want to help us in this work, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And I'm going to give it in a minute again because all of you folks you're on television, you can see it on the screen. But folks on shortwave radio, we have to take it down. So get your pencil and paper. We want to hear from you. And here's something that's really something. If you want to help us financially, you can get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there is a place there that says donate. And you can donate from any part of the world. We just got one from Norway. A gift from Norway, and he used his money there, and when we get it here, it's in American currency. We paid our bills and kept on preaching the gospel. So we need to have your help. And also, if you'd like to have the booklet on committing suicide, if you commit suicide, will you go to heaven? If you are a Christian, you will go to heaven. You shouldn't do it. It's a sin, but that sin is covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you will belong to him. You will never be lost. Jesus, when he said, in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, the Bible, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. The minute you make that prayer, you have everlasting life. And then Jesus says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. And when he gives you eternal life, he gives it for eternity. And so you just write to us, and we'll send that. We also have a little booklet on Can You Lose Your Salvation? Maybe you'd like that. You can get the new song, and I know you get a blessing from that. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, how do I know what they do with my money? What if they take my money and I'll bet he's got a fancy house and I'll bet you he's got a great big fancy car and I'll bet he's got a plane he flies around. Well, how do I know how he uses that money? Well, we are a member of what they call the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. They audit our books and they go through it with a fine-tooth comb and they check every penny we get and every penny we spend. And we're clear as a hound's tooth. And we're glad to have them do it because we're above board and we're honest. And if you give a nickel, it'll go to the preaching of the gospel. So you write to us, especially the shortwave radio people now. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as God lays on your heart. And if he wants us to have it, we'll have it. If he wants us to continue, we'll continue. If he doesn't want it to, we won't. It's all in God's hands and your hands. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone who has a part in giving and praying. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. We always appreciate your helping us in the ministry of the wonderful ministry of Jesus Christ. And before I read the scripture, I want to welcome, we have some guests today. We have from Red Oak, Iowa, and Pine City, Minnesota, and Mandan, North Dakota. And if we had one more, we'd take an offering. But we don't have quite enough for an offering. But, you know, we're always happy to have visitors. And we meet every other Saturday. But now you be sure to call first because sometimes we have to change that. As a rule, every other Saturday. And the first session is at 9 o'clock and then the second one at about 10 or 10:30. You write to us and we'll give you places you can stay. And we just love to have you. And the more the merrier. And we just love to meet new people. A lot of times we have folks come in and it always makes us happy. We're reading from Psalms today, and are reading from the scriptures today. And I got my wrong paper here, and it's about where Jesus has the man, and he's talking about the prodigal son, and he talks about how the prodigal son, and how that he has went off into the far country. And you know the story, and when he came to his senses, he spent all of his inheritance, and then he came to his senses. He was in a pig pen taking care of the pigs, came to his senses, and he came back. And God opened his arms for him and received him into his arms and took him back. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God did. And so we are going to think about that today, and then we're also going to be thinking of how that God is so wonderful and he is so open to all of us to come to him. Now, all of the time we are, and so he says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And then he talks about how our days are passed over. And then it closes by saying, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And so this wonderful God, though we may drift far from him and go great and way into sin, yet his arms are always open. And that's going to be our message today. So that when we come back, we can show the beauty of God in our life as we live for him. And as you know, every week we pray for the persecuted church someplace in the world. And today we're praying for the persecuted church in Pakistan. And so when we have our gospel and we're preaching, you know, when we have our preaching, our shortwave, for instance, and television, it goes into Pakistan. It goes into North Korea, where the hardest place to be a Christian in the world is North Korea. And our gospel goes there. And we always let them know that we appreciate them and that they are a challenge to us and they make us better and stronger when we see how they live for the Lord Jesus. So we just thank God for this wonderful, wonderful gospel. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to give the wonderful message of God, that it goes all over the world. And we thank you that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord can be saved. We thank you that we know that that it doesn't matter how much sin people have committed. It doesn't matter how far we are from you. And sometimes, dear Lord, people think that, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong and I sinned anyway. God will never forgive that. But you've told us your grace is greater than all of our sin. And that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so we have you, Lord, and we lean on you and we trust in you. And so we pray that as the gospel goes out today, all those who haven't opened their heart to you, that they'll make the prayer and just ask Jesus to come into their life. And we'll see them in heaven and we'll see it all together and rejoice together. So we pray the persecuted church, they'll also be encouraged and strengthened as they serve you. So may your blessing rest upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Now Melissa's going to sing Across the Finish Line. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you. Oh, my darling, I see your tears. But you don't have to cry. Jesus led me safely here, covered at his side. All my fears disappeared the moment he drew near and I crossed the finish line. No more. Describe this perfect place, the amazing peace that's mine. I have knelt before his face, here by grace divine. After my earthly race, my strength was all replaced when I crossed the finish line. No more pain. more sorrow and no more worry about tomorrow. We'll meet again in His own time across the finish line. Across the finish line.
Thank you, Melissa. And that's what we want to do. We want to cross that finish line. You know, we can't all be successful. We can't all be famous and all of that. But we can all be faithful. We can all finish. Just stay with it. It isn't how we start, but it's how we end. And that finish line, we keep that in mind all the time. We want to think about this prodigal son now and how he went into great sin and how he came back and how God used him and how the God received him. And it doesn't matter what your sin might be, the Father is always open to your coming. And I'm praying today that some of you will come to Jesus. Many of you will come to the Lord. And it might not be for salvation. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord and you want to come back and you want to be with Jesus. And He'll open His arms and He'll receive you and you can become His child and walk with Him. And when we receive the Lord Jesus, one thing we do, we promise to serve Him the best we can, because Jesus taught repentance. He taught us that not only should we receive the Lord, but we should make Him the Lord of our life. We should make Him the one that leads us and guides us, and we follow Him and we serve Him the best way we can. Now we're going to fail. There's nobody perfect. I met a lady the other day. She thought she'd been perfect for 3 days, hadn't sinned for 3 days. And I said, Lord, have mercy on the poor thing, because none of us can live. If we have one thought, if we have one evil thought, if you're driving down the road and somebody pulls out in front of you and they putt along and you said, oh, you may think something, you may not say it out loud, but you may think something. I might think something. We all sin. And after we're saved, there's some people that think, well, God will forgive us all of our sins until we're saved. But then after that, you're on probation and you got to be careful. And if you do the wrong thing, you'll lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. We have a whole booklet on that, and you can write. I'll give you the address after the service. But we can't lose it, because God holds us in His hand. Jesus says, I hold you in my hand. I don't hold on to Jesus. Jesus holds on to me. And so we walk with the Lord. And when we fail the Lord, we ask Him to forgive us. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so how many times can you sin? Peter said to Jesus, should I sin, forgive him 7 times? And Jesus says 70 times 7. In other words, Jesus says, there's no limit to my grace. There's no limit to my forgiveness. And if you sin 1,000 times over, you go to Jesus of forgiveness and He'll forgive you and He'll take you back and He'll help you. And so that's what we're looking at today, how that when we love the Lord and we serve the Lord, well, Moses put it in the 90th Psalm. Moses closed that prayer and he said, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And so he's been, as a matter of fact, this is one of the oldest psalms because Moses prayed it. Moses was a prayer. And he said, he's talking, well, I want the beauty of the Lord to be upon us. And Moses, when he said that, he didn't mean that God's beauty, well, that we're talking about God's beauty, but he's talking, has reference to God's people. And he's saying, as God's people, let the Lord, beauty of the Lord shine upon us and show upon us. It's God's beauty is seen in God's people. And like, for instance, it resembles the beauty of a starry sky reflected in a placid lake. Or it's like the beauty of the moon clothed in mild splendor. And then the sun, and how that Jesus shines through us. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see the beauty of the Lord, that they may see Christ in you. And by seeing how we live and how we act and what we do, we bring glory to God. And the beauty of the Lord is upon us. So this beauty is, when you look at it in the Bible, you find out that it comes in so many different ways. People can be beautiful for the Lord in so many different ways. For instance, look at Abraham, and you see the beauty of the Lord in his faith. How that his faith, he was in a foreign land. He lived way off from the promised land. And God says, if you leave your land and you go and follow me, I'll show you, I'll give you a place of your own. Genesis, for instance, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. Early in his life, Abraham was faithful to God, and that showed that faith because Abraham left his hometown, he left his neighborhood, he left his family, he left all that he had, and he took his little family and he traveled, his wife and his children, and he traveled across a land to a land he'd never seen. And there were marauding tribes in that wilderness journey, and he had no army to protect him, and by faith, he believed God, and he struck out, and that was a beautiful thing about Abraham, that was his, how much faith he had in God. And that shows again when in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, where God tells him to take his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham is going to do that because he believed in all of his heart that if he took that son's life, that God would raise him back from the dead. That's how much faith he had. And God spared his son. You know the story. There was a substitute. And that's a picture of how we, the Father in heaven, takes his son to Mount Calvary. But there wasn't a substitute there. His lamb, his son, died. But Abraham had faith. And it was a beautiful thing. You see the beauty of the Lord in the patience of Job. And we all know the story of Job. And if we don't, we ought to get to read it because we so have so many things in life that we don't understand. And Job had things land ahead of him, and he was a good man. He was the most righteous man of his day. How do you know that? Because God says there were he was the most righteous man of his day in Job chapter 1. And the neighbor said it, but God said it, and that's what counted. And yet he lost his family, and he lost his health, and he lost his reputation, and he lost all that he had, and he's on an ash pile, and he thinks he's going to die. But he never gives up on God. And they tell him, Job, you've done the best you can, and it's not good enough for God. Why don't you curse God? How are you going to please God? You've done everything just perfect. You're the most righteous man of your day. Why don't you just curse God? And you know what he said. Though he slay me, I'll never give up on my God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that was, he's beautiful in his great trust, in his great faith, and his great patience. Or look at Joseph, the forgiveness of Joseph, and how beautiful that shines out. Here's Joseph, and he has his brothers, and his brothers are jealous of him, and they're going to kill him. They put him in a pit. They're going to let him die there. And one of the brothers, Judah, says, oh, don't take his life. Sell him as a slave. Here come the Ishmaelites. They're on their way to Egypt, down to Cairo. Send him down there and let him sell him as a slave. And that's what they did. Their brothers, his own brothers, wanted to kill him. And you know the story as well as I do. Now Joseph is the ruler in Egypt, and he has all power. He's second to the Pharaoh. Someday he'll be the Pharaoh if he wants to be. And he lands, and there he is. And his brothers come, and he could put every one of them to death. But what did he do? He made excuses for them. He said, God worked it that way so that I would be here to save the nation of Israel from starvation and many other nations. The forgiveness of Joseph is a beautiful thing. And we need to do the same thing to learn to forgive. And it isn't easy to forgive for some of us. But we just got to do it. And by the grace of God, it can be done. Forget it, and put it behind us. The beauty of the Lord was shining in Joseph. And then, of course, the beauty of God was shows in Moses, in his meekness. Moses in his meekness. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible tells us, the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were up on the face of the earth. And so this doesn't mean that he was weak. but he was meek, he was gentle, and he was kind. But he was just like a stone wall. Well, what do we read about Jesus? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, Jesus was meek and gentle. And so we see that this wonderful Jesus, it means that he's humble and he's patient and he's submissive to God's view and God's way. And that's why God hates pride so much. He never uses a proud person. And he tells us in Corinthians, meekness is the opposite of pride. And he says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so when we see Moses, he's meek and he's gentle and he's kind. And the meekness of Moses when he could have been a man of wrath. That's the beauty of the Lord in him. Or you see the beauty of the Lord in the boldness of Elijah. And how Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel and he stands against Jezebel and Ahab, a wicked, wicked ruler and his queen. And they have all of the priests there. And Elijah stands alone and he stands for God and he's bold. And he says, choose today who you're going to follow. You know, here's the great God of all the Israelites. Or you want the God of all the pagan and the Canaanites. And he's bold for God. And sometimes we have to be bold for the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing when you see somebody stand up for the Lord. And that's why I'm so taken with the persecuted church. Those are my brothers and those are my sister. They're part of the family of God. They're part of our family. And there they stand today. And some of them putting their life on the stake and giving their life. And bowing their heads and saying, Jesus is Lord. And having them cut their heads off. And leaving the orphans and leaving them white widows and all of the rest of the terrible things that they go. And they have to be bold and they have to be strong and it's beautiful. And I know it makes me a better Christian and it strengthens my faith and it helps me when I see the boldness of these people. And then, oh yes, don't forget about Daniel. Think about the faithfulness of Daniel. And how he served in the king's court. And he was well over 80 years of age. And he's still serving in the king's court. And some people think that he was in his 90s. Can you imagine that in his 90s? Serving the Lord in his humble way. And stumbling and whatever it might be. But he's serving and he's standing there. And there's a beauty to that when we stand for the Lord. And it isn't how we start, but it's how we finish. That's what counts. We have starters all over the place, but we have to stay with it until we come to the end of the course. And oh, I have to mention a couple more. Let's think about Paul, for instance, and think of the earnestness of Paul and how that he stayed with it no matter. He was so dedicated to the Lord that he was stoned and he was jailed and he was whipped and he was beaten and he was oppressed and he was threatened and all of the times. And they think that when he was stoned at Lystra, there are some Bible teachers that believe that he actually did die and God raised him from the dead. God could have done that. No problem for God. And whether he did or whether he didn't, it doesn't matter. Paul stood there and he never gave up. And always remember, it's always too soon to give up. Never give up. Stay true to the Lord. Or think about John, the gospel writer John. And how that he was so loving and so kind. And what did he do when Jesus wanted somebody to take care of his mother? Which one of the disciples did he pick? John, the man of love, the man of gentleness and kindness. And that's a beautiful thing as we look in the life of John. And when you see beauty in the other people living for the Lord, you see how that they're so dedicated and it always comes out. So it has many tints and many different hues and many ways of seeing it. But the beauty of the Lord shows all the time. Now let me tell you about this beauty. It's growing. It grows like a growth of corn. First, you have the blade when you accept the Lord. Then you have the stalk, and then you have the ear, and then you have the full ear, the mature ear in the corn. It's like the growth of trees. First, you have the seedling, and then you have the young tree, and you have to fence it so the rabbits won't eat all the bark and kill it. And then it becomes large and strong and beautiful with arches of limbs that just are beautiful for all to see. And that's because beauty can be growing. And I've been in the work for a long, long time. And I'm going to tell you, one of the saddest things in the world is the Christians that don't grow. They don't always grow. And sometimes we have Christians that have been a Christian 30, 40, 50 years, and they're still little old whining babies. And you got to be careful, or you hurt their little feelings. And everything has to go just right with them, or they're done with you. And what a sad picture it is, because when a little baby is born, you just love that baby, and you cuddle that baby, and you hold that baby, and it's the most beautiful, wonderful thing you can see. But when that baby is 50 years old, you want to throw him, give him a swat somewhere and get him going. And so we have to be sure, is that faith growing? Are we living for the Lord? How do we look for the Lord? How are we today? Are we stronger than we were last year? Are we growing the faith? Are we stronger? Are we more loving? Are we more kind? Is our faith stronger? Are we more committed? It has to be, and it's a beautiful thing. When you see all of these different things, we don't have all of them. We maybe have just one, but we can shine for Jesus, and it's the beauty of Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, it says to go on. The writer of Hebrews is urging us to carry on, to grow, to become strong in the Lord, to put behind us the things of the past and to go on for the Lord, to go on. And that's what the beauty of the Lord is. It is to grow in faith or humility or patience or gentleness or under the fruit of the Spirit, whatever it is, to grow for the Lord and to live for the Lord. That's what we need to do. And here I am in my 90s, and I have so many shortcomings, and I need to work on my life just as well as a young child that's just accepted Jesus. I remember when I accepted Jesus, I was 10 years old, and I used to get mad at the milk cows. And I thought, oh boy, now I'll be a perfect Christian if I can just get over my hold my temper. And so I worked on that to hold my temper. And I got that, worked on that, and then there was something else. I was having bad thoughts. And something else, I was sassing my mother when she didn't see me. And I was doing some other things. And then I discovered something. The closer you get to Jesus, the more flaws you're going to see. And you're never going to be perfect. You can show the love of Christ. You can show all of the beauty of Christ. And that's just fine. But we're not perfected yet. And we won't be. He's begun a good work in us and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when we meet our Lord, when we meet our Master, then the battle is over. But it'll never be over until then. They ask one old pastor. A young pastor asked this old pastor. He says, the young man said, I have temptations. And he says, when will I get so I won't have any more temptations? And the old pastor said, oh, maybe 3 days after your funeral, you won't have any more temptations. They're always there. And the point I'm simply making is there's progress and there's still need to grow, but it will always be a struggle and there'll always be something, so never give up. And there's a bumper sticker that says, he isn't done with me yet. And that's right, he's working. But in the meantime, we are trying to have the attributes and the fruits of the Spirit so that we show the beauty of the Lord, this wonderful beauty of the Lord. And another thing about that beauty of the Lord, it is unfading. It never fades away. It's a process. And you know, when, for instance, you take in the realm of the physical, and the older you grow, then some parts start to go. And then you have to get something for your wrinkles. And then you have to get something for your joints. And then you have to get something so your hair doesn't fall out. And then you got to get glasses and double powerful glasses. And you're doing all things because the old house is going to pieces. But in the spiritual realm, it's just the opposite. It becomes stronger day by day and hour by hour. And the beauty of the Lord shines brighter all the time. And it defies all the ravages of time and care and disease and death. The beautiful, wonderful love of the Lord and beauty of the Lord. And when we get to heaven, it'll shine more than ever before. What a glorious thing. But I'm going to tell you this. The beauty of the Lord is hidden to the one who has it. You won't realize it yourself. The person with that beauty will never know they have it. Others will see it. Others will admire it and be blessed by it. But the possessor will not be conscious of its existence. If we truly possess it, we will not know it. Take humility, for instance. If you think you're a humble person, watch out. And when somebody comes along and says, I serve Jesus in my humble little way, watch out, Buster. There's something wrong there. When you think you're humble, you're not humble. And so we have to come close to Jesus. And as we have him, he will humble us. And maybe we'll have some troubles and trials and difficulties in life. And so we'll have to be brought down. God does that so that we don't become proud and high-minded, because he won't use the proud. You don't find anybody in the Bible where God used there was a proud person. It's always the humble and the lowly and the little man and the one that is given over to the Lord and sees only Jesus and not himself. And so this humility, and here it is. You'll see this maybe, for instance, you see it with a daughter maybe. And this daughter's at the bedside of her dying mother. And she meets her every need and she takes care of her mother. Every desire is answered by this daughter. Until death, she labors for her mother. She wouldn't take a throne to give up the serving her mother. It's always to care for her mother, to help her mother. That girl is beautiful, but she doesn't know it. She doesn't know it. And she is too absorbed. She is too dedicated. She's too close to Christ to notice and conscious to see that beauty. And the admiration of it excites others, but she doesn't even know she has it because she's walking with the Lord. That's the way it is with the beauty of the Lord. We won't realize we have it. Yes, we'll strive for that beauty, and we make ourselves as much like Christ as we can, and we improve in all of our ways that we can. We'll be studying the Word of God, and we'll be praying all the time to be like Jesus. But we'll be like Moses. You remember Moses when he was on Mount Sinai and he came down from Mount Sinai and he was aglow, his face was aglow. And what does the Bible say? He wist not that his face shone. His face was aglow and brilliant and beautiful, but he didn't know it. And that's what the beauty of the Lord is. So these people with shining faces, beautiful in God's sight, but they shine and they're not aware of their beauty. They're like the beauty of the stars or the beauty of the rainbows or the beauty of the flowers or the birds or the little children, the beautiful little children. Not a halo over their head, not a shining face like Moses, but the beauty is the Lord our God is upon us. Albert Osborne writes it this way, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all of his wonderful passion and purity. O thou spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." You say, yes, yes, I want that beauty. I want that beauty to be seen in me. Well, this is what you have to do. You have to have Jesus first of all. There's no way you can do it. You have to open your heart to Jesus. And Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I'll sup with him, I'll fellowship with him, and he with me." And so Jesus is right now, I know he's knocking at doors. You know, we're told that nobody can come unless the Lord calls them. And what was he does? It draws them. And what did Jesus say when he's going to be on the cross? He says, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." There are some people that teach that certain people, only certain people can be saved. But Jesus says, I'm going to draw all men. I'm going to call all men to me. And if they come, then that's wonderful. If they want to reject me, they can reject me. And so if you go to heaven or you go to hell, it is your choice. Nobody can decide it for you. You have to decide it yourself. And so Jesus says, I'm at the door and I'm knocking. And I want to come in. And you're saying, yes, I want to come in. And then you know what'll happen? The devil will come. And he says, oh, you don't want Jesus to come in right now. He says, just wait till tomorrow, or wait till your birthday, or wait till your anniversary. And you, some of you men. And wouldn't it be something? And on your anniversary, if you'd accept Jesus, wait till then. Wouldn't it make your wife happy? Well, she'd probably be so happy she'd pass out. And then she'd come to her senses. She'd make you the best meal she ever made in her life. She'd be thrilled to death. So the devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He never will say that. He'll say, put it off. Put it off. Wait. Wait. And it'll be too late. Jesus says, now is the time of temptation. Now is the day. And like the old prophet says, the harvest is all gone and we're not saved. Now is the day of salvation. So he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And when I say that, and I know you think of those sheep with the wool, and it's all gray and it's all dirty and it's got some little briars in it and all that. But with the wool that God is talking about is the shorn wool. And when you shear that sheep right next to the body, it's all lanolin and it's all white and it's all beautiful. And that's what Jesus does with our sins. He takes them away. He washes them away. And your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And so I'm just praying that you'll pray right now, all over the world, wherever you might be. And you just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you just to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you. That's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. He told the woman in adultery, go and sin no more. And that's what he's telling us. Go and give up those hard ways. Give up those old ways and walk that new life and that narrow road, that walk with me, and I'll give you help. And so he says, come unto me, and you'll be just like wool. Just like the snow, all clean and all away. And then the sin, I'll put them away. Your sins I'll remember no more. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. At box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And all of you on shortwave, we heard from people from the West Indies just a few days ago. And it's so wonderful to hear from all over the world. And all over the world, you write to us and we'll send you literature to help you to get started in the Christian life. And if you take your Bible and start reading in the Gospel of John, that's a beautiful book. Read that. And then write to us. And also, you need to help us in this work. You need to pray for us. You need to tell others. And you need to send a gift. And you can send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. And I pray that multitudes are opening their heart to you right now, and they're being born again. They're becoming your child, and they'll be your child forever. And we're praying, Lord, for the young people today that have such big decisions to make, having a hard time living the Christian life, don't know which road to go. And Lord, we pray for the elderly, we pray for the shut-ins, we pray for those who are sick and those who can't get out of bed, those who are in wheelchairs. We pray for the lonely, Lord, and help them to know that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, that you'll always be with us and you always keep your word. May your love and your peace rest upon them all. And may everybody know that you love them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You love them. And the Christian Worship Hour, we love them. And we're praying that they'll all come to Jesus and that they'll all be helped in the Christian life. And someday we'll gather together around the throne of grace in heaven. And won't that be a thrill? God bless us, Lord. Bless us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now until next week, we just pray that you'll just lean on the Lord and help you and know that we're praying for you and you pray for us. And someday this journey's going to be over and we're going to gather over there. Maybe one by one we'll go. Maybe the Lord will come, the rapture of the church, and all of those who know the Lord will be taken up. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Maybe that'll happen this week. We don't know, and we don't need to know. We just leave it with you. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.